beginning, we've had a great bonding with food. And especially for many cultures, food was very, very sacred. And therefore, we will do a small session on the Holy Eucharist. The first talk we did was a talk or a small reflection on love. No, the first talk we did was love, where God loves us so much that he tells us that we are special. So today we will do this session on the Holy Eucharist. Okay, so Eucharist is a special kind of a meal. Okay, and this Eucharist is not any form of meal, but it is the love of God in action. In the first talk, we did the last part where we said, God loves us so much that he gave his only son, John's Gospel, chapter 3. When somebody loves you or you love someone, you give a gift to someone. And all of us have received gifts at some point of time. But this gift is very special. Very, very special. Why? Because in this gift, God gives his very life. You can never get a gift of a person offering his entire life to you. So we will begin with our session. You may like to take some small points, or we can share this slide with you so that all of us will be able to reflect. Okay, so let's move on to the next slide. Okay, so when anyone tells you, I love you, or I care for you, or we are friends, some don't mean it, some it's only in words. It remains only at the level of words, simple words, no? But love is more than just words. It is action. It is more than action. Love is commitment. So don't just fall for anybody who tells you, you are nice, I love you, and this and that. No. So today we will learn that love is beyond action, and love is commitment. So it's not only a feeling, it is something more realistic. So the word Eucharist, okay, it's a word for a good word. EU and charis. Eucharist means a good word, or I am grateful, or I am thankful. So if anybody asks you what is the Eucharist, Eucharist is nothing but I thank God for all that he has done for me. Okay, so the Eucharist comes from the word Eucharist, that means EU, that is good, and charis means something I have received from God, a grace. Okay, very often we say Mass, Sunday Mass. It's interesting to know that the word Mass comes from the last line of the Mass. Do you know what the priest says? The last line when the Mass ends. What does the priest say? After that, you have the recessional hymn. What does the priest say? The last line of the Mass. Go forth and proclaim the good news, or go forth. You are sent forth to proclaim. So the word Mass comes from the last word of the Mass, which is Missa. Missa means go and proclaim. So the word Mass is taken from the last line of the Mass. In Latin, it was called Missa. Est. Missa means go and proclaim, or go and live the message of the gospel. Okay? So Mass means go and tell everyone about Jesus's good news. But we will learn something more than that. Let us move on to understanding a very realistic knowledge. Okay? Now, this is some nice little work for you. Okay, we go back to the Last Supper. I'm sure you've seen that famous painting there. Not exactly this painting, but the famous painting of the Last Supper painted by Michelangelo. And it depicts the last meal of Jesus. I don't know the different types of meals that you, when you go for a birthday party, you have a birthday cake waiting for you. When you go for a wedding, there is cake and wine waiting for you, right? So every occasion demands a special meal. Even in some cultures, when you visit somebody in mourning, they will offer you something, maybe a glass of water. So that food helps you to take part in that event. So at the Last Supper, Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal. Even today, the Jews celebrate that Passover meal. So it's very interesting. If you read the book of Exodus chapter 6 and verses 6. Okay, so the Jews who celebrate the Passover meal, they have 5 cups of wine. Yes, 5 cups of wine. Okay, why 5 cups of wine? Because in the book of Exodus chapter 6 and verses 6, there are a few actions of God that they celebrate in the Passover meal. I've given you just 2 of them. If you read Exodus chapter 6 and verses 6, it speaks about 5 action words that are there in Exodus 6, where God freed the people, he redeemed them, and 5 other action words are there. And for each of these action words, each of these actions of God, they used to raise 1 chalice or 1 cup in memory of each of the words. A little bit of background for us to understand. But when Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, he did something more dramatic and more significant. What did he do? Jesus washed the feet of his disciples at the Last Supper. And at the Last Supper, besides the Passover meal, he gave it a new meaning. He said, "This is my body and this is my blood." So in the Gospels, Jesus did 4 things when he celebrated the Eucharist. Okay? And these 4 things or 4 actions are there, and I want you to learn them. Jesus took the bread and he took the chalice. Secondly, what did he do? He blessed it. Okay, he took, he blessed, he broke, and he gave. These are the 4 words or 4 actions to describe the meaning of the Eucharist. Eucharist means taking something. The Eucharist means blessing or giving thanks. The Eucharist is breaking it. And lastly, the Eucharist is to give. Okay, so you'll be able to remember the 4 actions of Jesus and the 5 actions from the book of Exodus. Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. So that's good for us to know some basic things about the Holy Eucharist. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so the Eucharist is a meal, but not just any meal. At the time of Jesus, suppose they had to enter into any contract. They had to work on any agreement, like a marriage. They would celebrate a meal to seal the deal. Okay, so the Eucharist, or rather a meal, was a special type of a meal. It was sacred. It was holy. And that is why the Eucharist is a sacred meal for the whole community. And Jesus, whenever he went out to somebody's house, he used the meal as his lesson, as his teaching. So many places, you have the example of Jesus entering the house of Zacchaeus, and he told him, "I want to have a meal with you." And at the meal, he changed the life of Zacchaeus. So here you have Jesus teaching, preaching, and working through meals. Jesus shared a meal with the poorest of the poor. A little boy shared his meal with Jesus, and Jesus blessed that meal. Jesus sat down with sinners, tax collectors. He sat with people who were lepers, those who were sick. He also sat with the rich. He sat with everybody. And that is why the Eucharist is known as communion. Communion means becoming one. So one of the meanings of the Eucharist is I become one with Jesus and Jesus becomes one with me. You know, when you invite a guest over for lunch or dinner, you enter into a relationship with that person, or two friends going out, or you attending a special meal. For example, in India, you have Onam or Pongal, or different cultures that celebrate harvest festival. So when you have a meal, you enter into a relationship with that person. On the other side, if at the time of Jesus, if you were invited for a meal and you reject that meal, it was an insult to the host. So meals, and especially the covenant meals, were very, very important. So if I were to invite you for lunch or dinner, maybe today you would say no, but at the time of Jesus, if someone invited you for lunch or dinner, it was a special mark of respect. And so the Eucharist is Jesus inviting you for a special date, a special friendship, and a special meal. Would you say no to Jesus? Or how would you behave at the Eucharist? So let's move on. The Eucharist is a meal. Okay, so the Eucharist, we said, is a meal, but more than the meal, it is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. Have you taken part in a meal that was difficult to have, especially when you say farewell to someone? Some of you may have parents who are abroad. And on the night, the evening, where your mom or dad travels to a distant land, you gather as a family and you have a meal. That meal is not easy. It's a difficult meal because it is the last meal before you meet your family again. And so the Eucharist was a meal of sacrifice. Have you heard the story as little children from the Bible, from the book of Genesis? The story of two brothers who offered a sacrifice. You heard the story of Cain and Abel. One was a shepherd and the other was a farmer. And both of them offered a sacrifice. But one brother's sacrifice was not accepted, and the other's sacrifice was accepted. The Eucharist is a sacrifice. So whenever you come for the Eucharist, there has to be some form of sacrifice. Do you know the meaning of sacrifice? You know, when a mother feeds her baby, she breastfeeds her baby, she is giving her part of her life to a child in order that the child can live. That is the meaning of the Eucharist, where the Lord Jesus sacrifices himself so that we can live. You know, when people came for Mass in the early church, it's interesting for many of our students to know that during the Roman rule in the Roman Empire, at one point of time, the Eucharist was banned. It was illegal for Christians to gather together. So people used to gather in small homes in the middle of the night. And it's very interesting, if you have seen in Thane church and other churches, they light candles at Mass. Do you know why they light candles at Mass? They have tube lights now, and they have wonderful lights. Why do we still light candles? There's an interesting story, very, very interesting story. And it's a true story about the early church. Whenever a Mass gathering, people celebrating Mass, and the government and the soldiers got to know that this community is celebrating Mass quietly, without permission, all those who were caught celebrating that Eucharist were jailed, and their punishment was death. I'm sure you have seen the great monument in the city of Rome, that is the Colosseum. Anybody who was caught celebrating the Mass was thrown to the lions. It's a public death that many Christians faced. And this is a sad reality of the early church. So people actually risked their lives in order to come for Mass. That is a sacrifice that they had to make. But most of all, it is a sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. So in memory of those who died, the early church used to gather at the tomb of the person who was killed. And then in the middle of the night, in great fear and trembling, used to celebrate the mass at the tomb using the candles. That is why even today candles are lit. So sacrifice of Jesus becomes a reality now. You know, dear children, it's nice for us to recall how many people have sacrificed their lives for us. Who are the ones who sacrificed their life for you? I'm sure you are aware of your parents. You are aware of your siblings, perhaps an uncle or aunt. Please remember and always be sensitive to people who have sacrificed themselves for you. Even at this retreat, you have your animators. At this retreat, you have so many people who have sacrificed. Therefore, the Eucharist is known as breaking of the bread. Bread is broken. Today, I want you to remember and pray for everybody who has broken themselves in order that you might live. So the Eucharist is a reality because of the people who have sacrificed themselves for you and for me. So let's move on. Okay. We have learnt of Eucharist as a meal. We have seen Eucharist as a sacrifice. Today we will learn of Eucharist as a memorial. You know, scouts and guides, they have a scarf. And at the end of the scarf, you tie a knot. Or sometimes our Indian women, they would tie a knot to the pallu of their sari. Why the knot? The knot is a reminder that you don't forget. We humans have a habit of forgetting, right? So the Eucharist is a reminder. It reminds us. The Eucharist is a memorial. Today is a special day, 4th of July. Why is it special? It's special for not us Indians, but for Americans. They remember this day as their Independence Day. So we always tend to remember birthdays, anniversaries. What does the Eucharist remind us? The Eucharist reminds us about Jesus. The Eucharist makes Jesus present now. It reminds us about Jesus. So Eucharist is God's reminder. We should never forget. You know, sometimes your mom would get upset that your dad has forgotten about birthdays in the family. Or you might forget the birthday of your parents or their anniversaries. You know, it's sometimes considered very rude. But sin is also forgetting. Whenever we forget, we realize we hurt somebody. Especially when you are close to someone and you tend to forget. And so Christians celebrate the Eucharist to remind us humans about God's love for us. Okay, so the Eucharist is a meal. Eucharist is a sacrifice. And Eucharist is a memorial. At the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread, he took the wine, and he said, "Do this in memory of me." That is why it helps to go for the Eucharist every day, because it reminds us that Jesus is giving his life for us. So the Eucharist is a memorial or a reminder. Let's move on then. Okay, so another meaning of Eucharist is giving thanks. Giving thanks. So what exactly is giving thanks? I have shared about certain meals that we have in India known as the harvest meal. We have Onam, we have Pongal. These entire cultures, like you have Baisakhi and you have different meals or festivals that are celebrated around harvest time. What is the meaning of harvest? When the grains is ready, when the crop is ready, we give thanks to God that God has given us this wonderful grace and blessing. And so, altar in the church is a piece of ground that is lifted up so that we can offer a thanksgiving gift to God. Anything can become an altar. Anything can become an altar. If you stop your day-to-day work and lift up any small thing and offer it as a thanksgiving to God, it can become a kind of a Eucharist. In fact, the whole life of a Christian is supposed to be giving thanks. Even little things you do, for example, you wait for a little moment of time and thank God during the day for whatever God has given you, that becomes an altar and a Eucharist. So the Eucharist is giving thanks, and you cannot give thanks with a sad heart. You have to be happy. And so the Eucharist is a celebration. Very often when you go for Mass, people just, you know, put their hands behind their back, or they are standing out of the church and they say, "I attended Mass." You cannot attend Mass. You cannot merely watch. If you go for a game, if you go for a sporting event, you cannot sit down quietly. You find people cheering, they are excited, they are happy, and they become part of the game or the concert. So Eucharist is something like that. Every time you go, you become involved in what is happening. So every time you go for a party, you cannot go with a sad face. You have to be happy and share in the joy of your host. So the Eucharist is giving thanks. I remember a priest who was with me in the seminary. Every time we celebrated Mass, he used to ask us, "What are you grateful and thankful about at this Mass? Every Mass you take part, give thanks for at least one intention. Come prepared." Even the priest will offer the Mass for one intention, praying for that one person, the soul, the health of the person. You also be grateful and thankful for at least one thing every time you go for Mass. And now when you cannot go for Mass and you watch an online Mass, you can still give thanks. Are you happy generally? Are you grateful? Remember, the Eucharist is not magic. It is the simple act of giving gratitude to God. So be grateful and be thankful, and you will be a changed person. Okay, let's move on then. The Eucharist. When you go for Mass at your altar at St. John, there are two tables. I say tables or two stands or three. One is the altar where the priest celebrates the Mass. And the second table, the second place of importance, is the place where the Word of God is read. Like you have the lectern. Some churches may not have a lectern, but an altar you will have in every church. So the Eucharist is the story of two tables. What are these two tables? One is the table of the Word. When you go for a party, you wish the person, you congratulate the person, you say thanks to the person, and you raise the toast. That is the liturgy of the Word, which is very, very important. You can't go for a buffet or a party and just go to the dinner table and start eating, can you? You have to wish the person. You have to talk to the person. You have to listen to your host. And then only can you share in the buffet, the dinner, or the meal. And so both parts of the party are important. The Word and the eating. One cannot replace the other. So whenever you go for Mass, pay attention to what God says. I'm sure during the year of confirmation, you will have a session on the Eucharist. But remember, the Eucharist is a special meal where God talks to us and God invites us for a meal. So let's move on then. From the two tables of the Eucharist, the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the bread, I will leave you with simple actions of the Eucharist that you can practice every day of your life. The Eucharist, as we said, is love in action. And you can practice this love in action every day of your life. What are these seven actions? These seven actions are important. Practice them every day. Do you know every Eucharist is a meeting? It is not only a social meeting. Many of you catch up over Mass or you meet up with friends, but not this type of a social gathering. It is meeting God and it is meeting one another. So one of the first actions is to meet people, meet your community, meet people who are lonely, who are poor. So one of the reasons why we have become very, very lonely today is we don't meet and wish people. So the first two actions of every Mass is meet your community. You meet God and you also encounter and meet your community. The second one is greet. What are the first words of the Mass after the sign of the cross? The priest wishes everybody, the Lord be with you. Okay? And the sign of peace. And you also have different actions where we wish and greet one another. Do you greet your parents at home every day? Do you wish them? The Eucharist allows us to touch and transforms the life of people. You know, whenever people come to church or even when you interact daily, it's a big blessing to wish someone, to greet someone. Remember, at the Eucharist, it is God who is wishing you. It is God who welcomes you. Pay attention to that. The third action at the Eucharist or a Eucharistic action is to ask forgiveness, is to say sorry. One of the most beautiful words that you can ever use is the word thank you and the word sorry. You have heard that talk on repentance and sin. As often as you can during the day, if you have made a mistake, say sorry mama, sorry dada. Sorry to your brother, sorry to your sister. The Eucharist or the heart of the Eucharist is asking for pardon and forgiveness. You know, one of the main teachings of Jesus was repentance. When we come for the Eucharist, we say sorry. And we will not be able to say sorry to God unless you use sorry on a day-to-day basis. Whenever you make a little mistake, learn to say sorry. Especially at this age, and you will be blessed. Learn to say sorry and it will help you. The fourth Eucharistic action or the divine action is to listen. In fact, the word disciple comes from the word listen. When we come to church, unfortunately, people are still looking at their mobile phones and they get distracted here and there. Remember the wonderful teaching of the gospel, learn to listen. Learn to listen. Whom do you listen to? Listen to the message that is proclaimed. Listen to the cries of the poor. Listen to what God is trying to tell you. Even now at home, learn to listen. Very often we speak too much. We keep on talking and talking, but listening is something that we avoid. The Eucharist, the first part of the Eucharist is we listening. God speaks and we listen. The next part of the Eucharist is offering or giving. At this age, perhaps you have not given, but learn to give. Whatever you can, the Eucharist is offertory, is giving. Jesus gives himself, even as Little youngsters, as students, okay, learn to give something to your mom and dad. Little gifts, little actions, little sacrifice, little bit of work. What can you do in order to live the Eucharist at home? Even now, some of you perhaps don't even try to enter the kitchen and help your mom. A little work around the house. So the Eucharist is sacrifice, offering something. The Eucharist, the sixth action, is receiving. You know, when you come for communion, you come with your hands outstretched, your hands joined, and you receive Jesus in Holy Communion. The ability to receive from God is very, very important part of the Eucharist. We come to receive God Himself and you become one. Okay? So the Eucharist is both giving and the Eucharist is receiving. And last of all, the Eucharist is commitment, that I will live for Jesus. The last words of the Mass become the beginning. Go forth and proclaim the gospel of the Lord. That is what the priest says. Go forth. That means whatever you have celebrated on the altar, do that in your own home while you are studying and whatever you are doing. So the Eucharist is nothing but action, simple actions of meeting God, asking Him for forgiveness, listening, offering and sharing. And these are things that all of you can practice in your day-to-day life. So the Eucharist is a day-to-day activity. Don't keep it only for Sunday. And now you can't even celebrate the Eucharist in a church, but you can celebrate the Eucharist in your prayer time. You can celebrate the Eucharist in your day-to-day life. One name for the Eucharist is breaking of the bread. Learn to break, give of yourself. I would like to end by a little story that fascinated me as a little boy. It's a true story of something that I learned. I can't remember when I was in school, a story that we learned in Marathi of a mother in the kingdom of Chhatrapati Shivaji. He was a great warrior king and he had a fort, and in that fort a mother used to come every day to sell vegetables. And the rule of the fort was simple. When the sun set, the doors of the fort closed and nobody could enter once the doors were shut in the evening. I'm sure some of you may have heard the story. It's a story of a mother who left a baby in the village, and when the doors were shut, she was helpless. She could not leave her baby alone in the village. She had to feed the baby. She pleaded with the soldiers, "Please open the door. I need to go back for the night." But the soldiers refused. And to the amazement of all, this is what she did in the middle of the night without anyone noticing. She climbed a steep slope that no soldier, no trained army man could ever train and go down. She went down the slope with her bare hands in the middle of the night. She risked her life in order to feed her baby who was perhaps alone in the house. She risked her life. She gave everything so that her baby would live. And when the great king Shivaji got to know about the story about this brave woman, he called a woman whose name was Hirkani. And he saluted that mother and said, "I don't know what prompted you to risk your life in order to be with your child, but the same love that a mother would risk in order to be with a baby is the love of Jesus for us in the Holy Eucharist." I pray that all of you will understand that the Eucharist is something that we can practice and we can learn in our day-to-day life. And this will help us the next time we meet in church. May God bless you, and pray in a special way as we priests celebrate the Eucharist tomorrow. I will remember to pray for you as I celebrate the Mass tomorrow. Thank you and God bless you. I'm sure all of you will have many doubts that you can clear. When you meet for your confirmation class, they will have a special session on the Eucharist. God bless you and thank you very, very much. All the best.